Good afternoon. It is 4:30. You're tuned to Katie and Kay. This is Raleigh Burley with a special edition of Heart Song, and I have the delight of being joined by Connie Baxter Marlowe and Andrew Cameron Bailey here in the studio, here to introduce a special event at the Third Street Center. And we spoke around this time last year in the context of your book, The Trust Frequency. So even then, you were alluding a little bit to this event. That is sort of marking 2020 as 400 years since the pilgrims arrived to this continent. So I'd like to give you each an opportunity to first introduce yourselves. Let's start with you, Connie.
Well, yeah, and our event is tonight at 6:30 in the boardroom at the Third Street Center, and it's called Trust, Providence, Pilgrims, Native Americans, and the American Dream. So how does that all fit with the Trust Frequency? Well, we are authors of this book, The Trust Frequency, 10 Assumptions for a New Paradigm, that is, in fact, a synthesis of indigenous cosmology and quantum science on the conscious, loving, abundant nature of the universe. Okay, so what does that have to do with pilgrims and Indians and trust and providence and Native Americans? Well, and the American dream, that's what this is about, is about realizing the promise America made to the world in our freedom documents. And tonight we're going to track that as an evolution of consciousness, so kind of from an eagle's perspective. And let's see. We do this because we're showing the role of indigenous peoples, namely the Native Americans, in the evolution of consciousness and the evolution of the American dream, which is our birthright. Liberty, justice, equality, and abundance for all is our birthright. So we're showing the evolution from the pilgrims, the separatist movement in England that stood up to absolute monarchy in the name of freedom of conscience, and that evolution that came to America and met with the Native Americans and the syntheses that occurred between the European colonists and the American Indian that preceded what we're calling now, what's coming, a third synthesis, the third great synthesis. So we've got a first great synthesis in Plymouth, Massachusetts, second great synthesis in when the great law of the Iroquois came into the Constitution, and now it's about a third synthesis, so we can actualize the great American dream, our birthright, and walk in alignment with it and bring peace on earth. So, Andrew, right. How about yourself?
All right. So I grew up in South Africa, and I grew up among a lot of indigenous people, as you can imagine, and ended up really getting to know the Bushmen of the Kalahari, who are literally the world's oldest people. They carry the oldest DNA on the planet. And I did one of the more interesting academic things I did. I did a degree in social anthropology with a focus on comparative religion, and became much more interested in what the indigenous peoples of the world saw in terms of spirit, in terms of God, in terms of, you know, the consciousness of the universe. I was very interested in what the Native Americans thought, the Australian Aborigines, the Kalahari Bushmen, the so-called, you know, the tribal people, the earth people, the connected people. Much more interested than in Christianity or Buddhism and the other major religions. And came over to this country and 50 years ago, I sailed across the Atlantic. So I think of my son and landed on Thanksgiving Day of 1969, wow. Which makes me a Latter-day Pilgrim. So here I am with a genuine Pilgrim descendant. And since meeting Connie 16 years ago, I got deeply into this incredible story of the coming of the Mayflower and how those people, why they left England, what motivated them, how they arrived here, what they found when they arrived here, and I ended up becoming a pretty deep historical researcher on the subject, and that research has resulted in a book just published called The Mayflower Revelations. It's a screenplay and a novel. And one of the things I realized is that there's a huge amount of misinformation and misunderstanding about the nature of the pilgrims, who they were, how they behaved, how they treated the Indians, how the Indians treated them. And so this book actually has this agenda in the sense of it sets out to set the record straight, to go as close as we can to historical truth through the writings of the people at the time, who were, needless to say, English, Europeans. We don't have writings from the native people of the time, which is really, really, I wish we had recordings of what they had said and thought, but we don't have that. Mm-hmm. What we do have is these extraordinary documents that were written and published in the very early 1620s, 1621, 1622. You've got publications being bestsellers coming out in London, and we still have those original documents, which is a huge blessing. So, yeah.
So a lot of the work is related to this point of synergy where two cultures came together and met. You call it the first encounter.
First great synthesis.
The first great synthesis.
The first encounter is actually an encounter. Is that first encounter beach with the Native Americans actually attacked the Pilgrims, but nobody was hurt. So that's first encounter. We're talking about the first great synthesis that occurred the next spring. The Pilgrims landed in the fall, and they went through the first winter. Half of them died the first winter. The next spring, they met with Massasoit, the chief of the Poconocut Wampanoag Indians, and signed a peace treaty that began 54 years of peace and friendship between the two cultures. And the next fall, there was the great 3-day intercultural celebration we now call the First Thanksgiving, which is shrouded in so much misinformation and misunderstanding that it was, in fact, 3 days of pure fun for these folks together.
And so also in the write-up about this event at the Third Street Center tonight, you talk about the second point of synergy, and that being the influence of the Iroquois in the Constitution of the United States. Could you speak a little bit about that point of synergy?
Yeah, well, Ben Franklin's first assignment was to go to meet with the Iroquois. And what he saw then in the 1750s was that they had a form of government that could be used to bring the 13 colonies together and in a balanced way. And so through this association with the Iroquois, he brought them to the Constitutional Convention. They actually spoke of what's called the Great Law of Peace. A peacemaker came amongst them in the 1200s, 12 to 1300s, amongst the warring tribes of the Iroquois, and brought something called the Great Law, which lifted them into a new way of seeing and being. From fighting and generations of horrific warfare, this peacemaker, a Jesus-type figure, I say, came amongst them, and they saw another way of being. Okay, and that's what's up right now for us, a new way of being, a new way of seeing. Okay, that's the only way out from this mess we're in. And that's what this whole mess we're in is about, to take us into our hearts, into another way of seeing and being. And that's what our work is about, that when we come together with the indigenous peoples again, we will see another way of being and relating to the sacredness and oneness of all life.
I feel that we live in a most extraordinary time in that we are finally, some of us, listening to the indigenous people who were denigrated, who were disrespected, who had Christianity imposed on them and various other religions. It wasn't just Christianity, if you think globally. And now we're realizing that these ancient people who still have their roots intact, some of them, many of them have lost so much, but they still have a connection that maybe us sort of more so-called civilized people have lost connection with. We are now in this time of reconnecting with Native Americans, and in my case, the Bushmen of the Kalahari. I had the amazing experience of taking Connie here over to Africa and making a documentary film that starts in Africa with the world's most ancient people, and asking them, you know, how it is. So now we're listening. And we'd better listen in a hurry because my focus these days is climate. I was a chemical engineer growing up in South Africa. I'm putting my great deal of my attention on solutions, systems that will actually strip CO2 out of the atmosphere and begin to reverse what we're facing. And the other thing we have to do is listen to the indigenous people who have been just preserving land, they look after most of the wild lands on this planet right now, and they themselves are so endangered by this just rampant destruction of nature. And we'd better wake up and listen, or we're in big trouble.
For those of you just tuning in, I'm speaking with Connie Baxter Marlowe and Andrew Cameron Bailey, who are going to be presenting at the Third Street Center tonight. And this will begin with a film and then go on to a discussion. What is the film that you'll be showing?
It's called Seeds of Freedom. And it
Seeds of Freedom, A Vision for America.
Oh, sorry, I forgot the tagline. Seeds of Freedom, A Vision for America. You can tell I'm not American, right? I'm into freedom. Go ahead.
So the film is essentially about the story of the syntheses. And it's kind of showing how America kind of walked away from that original vision that people are saying, hey, what's up? We came here to America for this freedom, and what are we getting? So, you know, it's really calling America on the carpet and saying, hey, we've walked away. How are we going to get back? And what we believe is coming together with the indigenous, with the Native Americans, and showing the fact that we've had these two syntheses already and that we can do it again. Mm-hmm. That's the point. We are doing it. As Andrew said, we're listening. The climate crisis has awoken us to our hearts, to our love for Mother Earth, for our love for the polar bears and the Amazon and everything else. So we're seeing that this doesn't work. These systems that have been put in place that are out of alignment with universal law. Okay, the country was founded on principles that are universal law. And we've been through a process all these years, these hundreds of years of getting there. It's not like anybody's been bad and wrong. It's all good. It's all as it should be. It's just trusting the process and moving and understanding that we have a role to play, us, now, the U.S. of A., the us of A. Mm-hmm. It's up to us, nobody else, right here, right now.
The film starts in New England with reference back to Connie's ancestor, her great-great-grandfather.
Yeah.
James Finney Baxter, an extraordinary, a great New England historian, maybe the greatest of New England historians, interesting man, starts with a reference to him and takes us all the way through interviews with a whole series of different Native American scholars, thinkers, just good people, visionaries, and takes us all the way through to Standing Rock. And this whole situation, just, you know, what needs to be done? What needs to be changed in order to evolve into what this country and what this life could be as humans and as Americans as well, of course.
So with 2020 marking the 400th anniversary of the arrival of the Mayflower, what do you two hope to see this coming year, this coming decade?
Well, there's an awful lot of stuff in preparation. There are celebrations. It's even in Plymouth, Massachusetts, it's not considered politically correct to use the word celebration. We can't celebrate it because the Pilgrims were so bad, according to current PC thinking, that it's actually been called a commemoration. But there will be a very big event in Plymouth next year. There is every Thanksgiving. And it's also the 50th anniversary of something called the National Day of Mourning, which is a Native American protest gathering that happens on Thanksgiving Day every year in Plymouth, overlooking Plymouth Rock, the monument down by the water. Mm-hmm. And this is the 50th anniversary of that rather contentious event, where a lot of we normally attend that. This is one of the few years we haven't gone to that. And the words and the visions coming off that stage are so historically misinformed. People just don't know the history. And there's a lot of subsequent and terrible things that happened. There were terrible things that happened before the Mayflower with Columbus, and that's a whole other reality. That was 100 years earlier. And all of the things that happened subsequently, which are horrific, nobody's denying any of that. But what few of the native people there realize or will accept is that there was this 54-year period of peace and friendship between these two cultures, which is extraordinary.
Yes, and what the native people don't understand either is the similarities of the Mayflower Pilgrims, the spiritual alignment with the Mayflower Pilgrims. The Mayflower Pilgrims stood up to the King of England for everything the Native Americans stand for, okay? Freedom to relate directly to the divine. You go out on the hill, you cry for a dream, you get your information, you come back, you live your life by it. Your tribe lives their life by it. This is where we're headed, in my opinion, to this. We're going to hook up to the unified field, to the conscious, loving universe, because it's just a veil that's separating us from that, our true nature and the true nature of the universe. But if the native people just really understood who these people were and what they stood for, okay, mm-hmm. and put their lives on the line, they died. Mums, dads, and kids. I mean, my ancestors came over, the parents of Priscilla Mullins, who married John Alden, they both died. Sheila was left an orphan, and she married John Alden, and I'm a descendant, an Alden descendant. So they put their lives on the line for this, exactly what the native people are holding dear, because they were close to the land. They were farmers. They were standing up to the church saying, no, we're not doing that. We're not doing it your way. And that was treasonous in England in the late 1500s. So they went to Holland. They spent 12 years in Holland and came here thinking that they could start a society based on the freedom of conscience. And so that's the vision, okay? It's a seed. And so are the founders of this nation, the 1787, the Constitution people. They were very based on providence. We'll do this, this, and this, and we'll turn it over to providence. Okay, that's the whole creator-based, providence-based, God-based reality that we're headed to. We're connecting to that part of ourselves and to that nature of the universe that we understand that it is a loving universe. That's what we're bringing in our trust frequency stuff.
So essentially, while recognizing that there have been horrendous things that have happened in history, on all sides, it's important to also remember that there have been friendships and there is synergy and there is this commonality and a lot of exchanging of information, ideas, and a transformation of human thinking that occurred then and is occurring now, and opening the way for that to continue to influence how we move through this very challenging time when the world's facing more chaos than we remember, and a lot of challenges, a lot of extinction happening because of the way we've organized our systems.
Yeah, so we humans have become so divided into all these, these 200 different nations and the different religious sects and different tribes and on and on and on. And we need each other. We need to let go of those boundaries and those barriers. They're illusory. We can change that. We created them. We can drop them. I'm not a big fan of nationalism, which is this big movement that's happening globally right now, this whole nationalist, which is dividing back into these armed tribes again. And that's incredibly dangerous. It's incredibly foolish. It's incredibly expensive. And it makes no sense at all from any sense. It's not rational. It's not from the heart. It's not loving. It's fear-based.
Yeah, because from my point of view, the earth was sitting in a lower frequency, okay? And so no matter what your belief systems are, I mean, the indigenous peoples have fought with each other. The Native Americans have had wars with each other long before the white man came. We've all been at war with each other. We've done nasty things to each other. And so we have systems based on fear and scarcity. Okay, because the earth was sitting in a lower frequency, the earth is moving into a higher frequency. And in the higher frequencies, the laws are different. And there's abundance, more abundance than we can fathom in this higher frequency that we call the trust frequency. And on our coins of the U.S. of A. Is in God we trust. Okay, in the conscious, loving universe we trust. That's how we're going to get there. That's how we're going to realize the promise America made to the world, which is our birthright.
So it all happens through trust.
Yeah. And one thing we haven't mentioned is that quantum science is proving that we are all one consciousness. We are all one essence of being. And that we actually also create reality with where we put our attention, the observer effect. So science is actually, it took us away from our connection to source, thinking it was all material and it was all only anything you could see was real and nothing you couldn't see was real. It's now, science is now showing us that, in fact, all that we can't see is real and that we are all not only connected, we're one consciousness. And that, to me, we're going to, that veil is thinning, we're going to get it soon. So all this stuff that we've put in place is going to fall away, just like these systems that are falling apart right now. None of those systems were aligned with universal law. So it's so thankful that they're breaking down so that something new can be born.
So the film is being presented by Davi Nikent, the organization, the Center for Human Flourishing,
right,
based here. Could you talk a little bit about that relationship with Davi Nikent?
Well, Connie, why don't you talk about Rita Marsh and how you first encountered her, because it's a great story.
Well, Rita is just a very conscious person and is very active in bringing consciousness. She was a nurse, or still is, but she's kind of our boss. She kind of says, hey, what about that book, The Trust Frequency? When are you going to finish it? Okay, Rita, we'll do it. Hey, when are you, okay, come up and we'll do an event here. We'll do an event there. I mean, and she, so she's been a very significant player in connecting us worldwide, actually, with the Unity Earth, and just recognizing what we're bringing to the party, mm-hmm, and encouraging us, because not everybody gets it, I'll tell you that. People think I'm stark raving mad. I've been in Aspen for 30 years doing all this, and people just kind of saying, yeah, Connie, right, right. Love you, but. So anyway, so Rita's been fabulous, and Davina Kent is amazing in the what it does on all fronts with healing, with Native people, and with all manner of workshops, lectures, movies. So we're fortunate to have her there with us and supporting us.
Yeah, we've done a fair number of events at the Third Street Center. And I have to say, the Third Street Center itself is one of the most amazing places on the planet. I love it. I want to be part of something like that. You know, it's just an extraordinary community phenomenon. Mm-hmm. And with Davi Nikent as part of that, and we're in the Callaway. No, we're in the boardroom tonight, mm-hmm, right?
Yeah.
Oh, never been in the boardroom before, so it'll be intimate.
Yes.
Yeah.
And if people want to find out more information, we have a couple of websites.
Uh-huh.
First, 50years.us, first50years.us, and thetrustfrequency.net. And Andrew has his climate restoration project that he's really hoping will get some, find a home here in the Roaring Fork Valley. I don't know if you want to say a little something about that, Andrew.
All right. So, yeah, so on the subject of the climate crisis, as a chemical engineer, I started putting my mind to it and going like, wait a minute, CO2, carbon dioxide, that reacts with various other chemicals, doesn't it? Like sodium hydroxide or whatever. So as a chemist, you just think those thoughts. What if we could get the CO2 out of the atmosphere and combine it with something and make it harmless and keep it permanently out of the atmosphere? And once we've got it out of the atmosphere, find something useful to do with it, as opposed to it being an incredibly expensive process. There's a lot of talk about carbon capture, carbon dioxide removal now, and it's being estimated but those who study these things or create these models are saying, oh, that's going to take about 2-3% of GDP of each country in order to accomplish that. That is not what we are thinking. We are looking, our perspective is that of a miner one who finds resources, mineral resources. There's an estimated 1 trillion tons of carbon in the atmosphere. Carbon has real value. We can turn carbon into concrete. We can turn carbon into carbon fiber composite materials for 3D printing and make anything we can imagine from the carbon in the atmosphere. We are on the very brink of something called the carbon revolution. We're going to replace the concrete, steel, and aluminum industries with carbon from the atmosphere as we reset the atmosphere back to below 300 parts per million, because that's all we can handle. That's all this planet can handle. Right now we're at about 415 or 417. We've never seen that in many millions of years.
Well, we are about out of time for today. The presentation will be at the Third Street Center at 6:30. Again, it's called Trust, Providence, Pilgrims, Native Americans, and the American Dream. I want to thank you, Connie Baxter Marlowe and Andrew Cameron Bailey, for joining us at KD&K to give us a little teaser of tonight's event.
It's been an honor and a privilege. We wish everyone happy holidays.
Yes, Raleigh. It was great being with you.